Here's what I love. God was directing by the good hand of God, but Ezra was still planning. You go, what does that mean? Here's what St. Augustine once said, quote, "Work like it depends on you and pray like it depends on God," end quote. You go, what does that mean?
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
We are moving right along in the Building Foundation series as we go verse by verse through the book of Ezra. Now last time, we saw how God provided everything that was needed to travel back to Jerusalem through a letter from the king Artaxerxes. So today, as we come to Ezra chapter 8, we see that the journey home begins. We are covering verses 1 and 15 through 32 with the message titled, The Journey Home. You've noticed we're skipping verses 2 through 14, so Pastor Ben gives the homework for you to read those on your own. Those verses list the families who returned with Ezra, reminding us again that every person matters in what God is building. So the journey begins. As the people gather, Ezra realizes something is missing. There are no Levites to lead in worship. So he calls for them, fasts, and seeks God for direction and protection. Instead of relying on military help, Ezra chooses to trust God completely. And God is faithful. Through a long and dangerous journey, he brings them safely to Jerusalem, carrying everything needed for the work ahead. The journey God calls us isn't always easy, but it is always guided. When we trust him fully, he provides what we need and brings us where we're meant to be. So we ask the question, where is God asking you to trust him more deeply? Not just at the destination, but in the journey you're walking through now. If you can, grab your Bibles and turn with me to Ezra chapter 8 for the message titled, The Journey Home. Here's Pastor Ben.
Well, notice verse 17, Pastor Ezra says, "And I gave them a command for Edo, the chief man at the palace, Casiphia, and I told them what they should say to Edo and his brethren, the Nethium, at the palace, Casiphia. And they should bring us servants for the house of God." Verse 18, "Then, by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, the sons of Mahili, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, namely Sherebiah, with the sons of his brothers, 18 men, and Hashabiah with his son Josiah, and the sons of Merai, and the brothers and their sons, 20 men. Also of the Nethium," remember those are servants, "whom David and the leaders had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethium, all of them were designated by name." Here's what he says. All of that, he says, I told them what they said they needed to say to Edo. Notice right here, they carefully instructed those they recruited on what to say. You go, well, Ben, what did they say? Here he says, "Make an appeal to Edo and his brethren to do what? To bring us servants for the house of God." Bring us servants. People who are like-minded, people who can see this. Guys, listen, that's what you and I are called to do. We're called to be servants. You realize the word minister means servant. And you go, well, I'm the senior pastor. Okay, all that means is you're the chief servant. That's all it means. And so all of us are called to be servants. But let me say this very lovingly as best I can. We all want to be servants. Can I get an amen? Come on, we can do better than that. We all want to be servants.
Amen.
Until someone treats us like one. Until someone really treats us like a servant, like a doulos, like a bond slave. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Oh, what a lesson I had to learn early on. I'll never forget. Pastor Robert, Calvary Chapel, Rio Rancho. Okay, Ben, you ready to come on staff? I'm ready. I'm ready to work full-time at the church, Pastor. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be great. I've worked circular jobs all my life. Now I get to be at the church. This is going to be great, right? I was already an ordained pastor. already ordained. Pastor Ben working at the church, right? And I work at the church. I get there and I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be great. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit in my office. I'm going to study all day and I'll counsel people and they'll come to me and I'll have wisdom and I'll say, well, let's see. Sit down. Let's see what the Bible says. And it's going to be great. And I'll get out and I'll have a cup of coffee and I'll sit there in the cafe. And you know what they did? Pastor Robert comes and says, okay, you ready? I'm ready. He says, you're in charge of cleaning the church. I ain't no janitor. No. You're a servant. But let me help you out. You're in charge of cleaning. All you need to do is get other people to clean. Well, it's hard to get people to clean the church at 6 o'clock in the morning. So there I am. And I remember I was cleaning the church, cleaning the church. Pastor Ben, somebody wants to talk to you. Well, I really can't talk to them right now. I got to finish the classroom. Sunday's coming. Zzz, vacuuming. And it wasn't until the Lord got a hold of my heart and said, why are you upset? And I had to repent, church. I called my pastor into the little classroom that I was vacuuming and cleaning. And I said, Pastor Robert, I am so sorry. Will you please forgive me? And he just smiled because he knew. He knew that God does that, doesn't he? He takes us and he breaks us and he says, listen, you want to be a servant. You need to be a servant. Well, this is what he's saying. He said, bring us some servants, man. But bring us some servants that don't want to think they're something. You know what training? You know how good that training was when I got here and it was just me and I had to clean the church? Well, then I called Nathalie and said, you need to clean the church. And then there was, just kidding. We cleaned the church. It was, you cleaned the church. And he was like, you happy to do it? You're just like, man, this is cool. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the lesson. You go, what's the lesson for you and I? You ready? Jot this down. Guys, we're called to love and serve people. We're called to love and serve people. How do we serve them? How do we serve them? You guys don't realize, you come in here, you sit on the chair, you have a clean church every Wednesday and every Sunday. How does that happen? Because you have servants that go, yeah, we'll do it. Do you want any praise, any worship? You want any pats on the back? No, we're just serving Jesus. That's exactly what he's saying. Here's what I like, guys, in this whole text, okay? If we take a look at verse 18, and he says, it read, then, by the good hand of our God. You guys see that? Underline that in your Bibles. By the good hand of our God. You go, what was he saying? Here's what I love. God was directing by the good hand of God, but Ezra was still planning. You go, what does that mean? Here's what St. Augustine once said, quote, work like it depends on you and pray like it depends on God, end quote. You go, what does that mean? Well, it emphasizes the importance of both personal responsibility and the reliance on God. That's what it does. You go, okay, I need to do my job. This is what he's saying. This is what he's saying. So he says, hey, I need you to speak to Edo, the chief, okay? And commentator Poole writes, Edo was the head of the rest, either by ecclesiastical order or government, which the Persian kings allowed to the Jews, or by some grant or commission from the king. So we're going after Edo, the chief, and he says, and something happened that was amazing. You go, what is it? Verse 18, by the hand of God upon it, they brought us a man of understanding. Who was it? It was Sherebiah. And we're not sure who this man really is, but I'll tell you what, I love the heart. I love his heart. You go, why? Because we were praying and God raised this man up and he responded to the call and he actually led a delegation of Levites. You see the heart of people, the heart of people. I love the fact that Ezra's praying. Listen, Lord, we're going back. We're going to need help. I've got this. And really, when you think about it, it's a church of 6,000 or 7,000 heading back. He's like, okay, I need to minister to them. And when we get there, we got all this. And Lord, we're going to need servants. And God goes, I got you. And he raises up men and he raises up women to do the work of the ministry. But this man, Sherebiah, had a great heart. Why? Listen to me. He responded to the call. Isn't that what we need to do? We need to respond to the call. You go, what do you mean? When God starts to knock, we go, yep, I'll do it. I'll do it. Listen to me. Listen. When we fully understand what Jesus has done for us, you know what our response would be? Whatever you need. Whatever you need, Pastor. But I haven't asked you yet. That's okay. I'm willing to serve. I'm willing to serve whatever you need. Now, you need to know your limits, right? Because we're not going to put you in children's ministry if you don't like kids. Okay, you get that. But it really should have the attitude of whatever you need, Pastor, whatever you need. Hey, would you be? Yes. I haven't asked you yet. No, we're, but you don't understand what Jesus did for me. Oh, oof. Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's what I love. Here's what I love about this. 38 Levites, 220 servants respond to Ezra's call to enlist. Why? Well, when it comes to the work of God, we need those who will respond. We need those who respond. Guys, think about us, okay? You know what? We're a small church, but I believe God wants to do something amazing with us. I still do. Our hearts need to be in tune with what God wants to do. I mean, think about some of the things we're headed for. You know, you go, what's that? Well, we're praying about a new building. You go, well, Ben, what's wrong with this? There's nothing wrong with this. We're renting, but we would like to have all of us in one area. We'd like to just, this is just our heart. Okay? I believe that God wants to raise up new leaders. God wants to bring us into men of understanding, men of wisdom. I believe that we need to have more ministry leaders, okay? Moving the ministry forward. We had a meeting the other day, and it just reminded me, it takes all of us to get where we need to go. All of us. And last but not least, when you think about this, we need servants. Serving joyfully the Lord in whatever area. Whatever area. Just serving. Just serving. So we see that the journey is unknown, but jot this down. Number two, the journey is one of prayer and humility. We're going to put two in one. Look at verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. Why, Ezra, why are you proclaiming a fast? Verse 22, for I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king. Here's what they were saying. The hand of our God is upon all those for good work who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against those who forsake him. And so we fasted and we entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. Keep that in mind in verse 23. Don't you love Ezra's heart? You go, what does it mean? The first thing he does is he proclaims a fast. He proclaims that he's like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? He says, well, here's what a fast does. We need to humble ourselves before God, and we need to seek him. We need to seek him. We need to know the right way for us. And I got to be honest with you, as your pastor, that's one of the hardest things as we move forward. Where do we go? What do we do? Am I hearing the voice of God? Is this what, you know? You definitely don't want to plunge a church into debt in a building. You definitely don't want to. What has taken a step by faith and presumption? God, please. And so Ezra goes, no. Here's why. Listen, we're going to proclaim a fast. Why? Because Ezra understood the spiritual power of fasting as a demonstration for our single-minded devotion to God and his cause. That's what he understood. You understood fasting. You know, when we think about that, when we think about fasting, we've got to be so careful because, okay, well, I'm going to fast. And then we walk around going, I'm fasting and I'm spiritual. And everybody goes, ooh, you're so spiritual. That's not what it's about. It's about finding the direction. It says, he called a fast and saw that God answered that prayer. Think about what he said. He says, I was ashamed. What were you ashamed, Ezra? He says, I told the king that our God is a big God and that we didn't need his help, that God was going to help us. And now I'm kind of freaking out. Now I'm in the midst of going, oh, man. Ever been there? It's like, God is God. We're going to stand. Oh, crazy. I can't tell you, church. I can't tell you. And I know God put us through that so that I can't tell you how many times I sat behind this or stood behind this pulpit and preached that God is a big God and he's going to meet every single one of your needs. And then there were times when I'm going freaking out and God's like, am I God or not? Do you trust me? And he's done incredible things. Incredible things. Let me give you an example. We were meeting this little church 21 years ago. We were meeting in the clubhouse of the apartment we were renting. So little clubhouse, right? Three or four people, five people. All right, Calvary Chapel Lubbock, we're starting in the clubhouse. Here we go. And so we decide, well, we didn't decide. They decided for us that we couldn't use the clubhouse anymore. So we start looking for a building. So we're sort of being kicked out, right? We're sort of being, we're sort of being kicked out. And guess what? We didn't have any money. There's only a few of us. So we find this little building. Beat up, tiny bit. I bring my wife. I'm so excited. Honey, look, we found a building. And she's like, oh, she's just like, I don't know. And I'm like, that following Sunday in the clubhouse, somebody dropped, and this was huge for us, guys. Somebody dropped $1,000 in the box, and that was enough for the deposit to rent that little building. And again, just think about it. It's like, what? And so there we are. You look back, do you remember those days? We had no money for a sign. And so I'm up there on the ladder, and Ethel thinks I'm going to fall. I'm telling you some of the craziest things that this church is like, get down from there. And I'm just trying to tape up a sign, and oh my goodness. And then when we outgrew that little building, we looked at this building. And I got to be honest with you, God provided. Why? Because right at the right time, he dropped $20,000 into the bucket so that we could build this out. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You go, Pastor, your point, is God God or not? Is God directing us? This is what Ezra's saying. He said, man, listen, there are times that we need to fast. We need to recheck our hearts. What are we doing? Where are we going? God, what do you have for us? What do you have for us? And I like that verse 23 says, so we fasted and entreated our God for this. And what does it say? And he answered our prayer. And he answered our prayer. Guys, the journey that called life on our way home has to be filled with prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Listen, we're called to spiritual lives. And prayer and fasting for your walks, your children, your possessions, God, show us. Show us what we need to do. I like that God answers prayer, but we need to talk about that. And I don't think we're going to get done because of the clock, but let's land this plane just a little bit. We'll finish up in verses 24 through 36, so God will work it out. But let's talk about prayer for just a moment, because I want you to go back for just a second, okay? And he said, listen, I proclaimed a fast. We got to figure it out. I was ashamed because I told the king that I didn't need his help, that God was going to take care of us. And now I'm a little bit freaked out. So he answered. He answered our prayer. Well, according to the text, that was a great answer. Can I get an amen? But what happens in our lives for answered prayer? What happens in our lives? Well, let me give them to you this way. Number one, God says, yes, you pray. You fast, you seek God, he leads the direction, and he says yes, and everybody gets excited because it's a big, wonderful yes. Amen? But sometimes answered prayer, everybody say answered prayer, is no. And nobody dances with their wives in the living room and God says no. Nobody goes, yay, God said no. What a great thing. We don't do that. We get, I can't believe this. God said no. You know, and we kick our heels, but it's still answered prayer, is it not? We're trusting God. He said no. He said no. I am so grateful and so glad that it's my anniversary, because I can tell you this, God said no to God said no to others to make way for my wife. And we often look back and go, oh man, what if I had married that? Oh, that would have been good. And do we thank God for no's? You go, yes. And then God answers prayer by saying what? Not yet. Hold on. Just wait. And we don't dance with our wives in the living room. God says, wait. Why? Because we don't like waiting rooms, do we? We don't like God's waiting room. We want him to be doing, oh, we got to do something. Oh, we got to buy this house. Oh, I just can't buy this. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Hold on. God said, wait. And if you're anything like me, you have no patience. No patience. And you end up messing things up. Come on, somebody. You're going to leave me up here alone? Okay. Thank you. Let me give you a quick example. Okay. I have a little refrigerator in my office. You guys with me? Had a little refrigerator, had it for years, bought it for $50, worked great. I'd keep Cokes and water and my lunch in there. Well, as the years went on, the freezer part started developing ice. Now, we're talking about 5 or 6 years. You have a big ice. My grandkids would open the refrigerator and, "Grandpa, look at the ice," and big old ice. And I'm like, okay. And I started to think, well, you know what I need to do? I need to defrost it. And the best way to defrost this is probably take it outside on one of these hot days, let it out there. It'll melt, bring it back in, just clean it up. Clean it up. Simple plan. Maybe you would do that. Not me, because I'm impatient. I get my handy dandy hammer and a screwdriver, right? So I do a little bit, it'd fall down. Maybe I get some satisfaction of watching the ice fall, right? So I come back in and start thinking about it. It's like, okay, it's taking forever. So I get my hand, right? So I'm doing this. And all of a sudden, it's like, now I need a new refrigerator. And I'm so mad at myself because I'm so impatient. And God would just be like, just wait. Wait. Slow down. And then you get so mad because all I had to do is leave it out there. That's all I had to do. You remember it was out there? Now it's broken. Anybody need a refrigerator that doesn't work? The point is, the answers are what? Yes. No. Wait. Not yet. And that, take that story and just use it, because that's how we are with prayer. This is us in prayer. Yes, now, Lord? And then the Lord's like, psst, and you're just like, oh. Father, we thank you tonight. We didn't get through all of it, Lord, and that's okay. We thank you for just a little bit of what we learned in Ezra, Lord. We'll pick it up next week and, Lord, finish up the chapter. You've given us so much to think about, Lord, our journey home. Our journey home is unknown, and it's filled with prayer, and it's filled with humility, God. But I know that you answer every single prayer. And so, Lord, tonight, as Calvary Chapel, as these beautiful people are praying to you for whatever they need, whatever they're going through, you are faithful to answer us. You don't leave us waiting. You don't leave us hanging. You always have a plan. And so, Lord, tonight, we thank you. Help us to be patient, Lord. Forgive us when we take things in our own hands and we mess it up. Help us to remember, Lord, that you're waiting for us on the other side, and we don't have to rush this life. We don't have to rush this life. We don't have to run the bases quickly, Lord. We can enjoy every minute of it. And even though it's hot and dusty and tedious and tiresome, Lord, we smile because we know who's waiting on the other side. Our Heavenly Father, with his arms wide open, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your rest." We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio. And I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry. And by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button,
If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.